Good morning.
Good morning.
John said, "Oh no." He said, "You got another one." I said, "Yeah." But he said, "You're leaving me in the dust." I said, "No, I'm not. I'm just pulling up some pictures that people can look at instead of looking at me." So that's what this is. I want to talk to you this morning about building Christian character. The pastor mentioned it several times last week in his sermon, and I begin to think, oh no, this is the route he's going. But he even ended up preaching on our need of the Holy Spirit. And actually, we need the Holy Spirit in order to build Christian character. And so I thought this would be a good topic because of the new year. In fact, I'm going to read a quote in a minute from the Spirit of Prophecy. Not this first one, but another one out of her Testimonies, Volume 5. And you could actually change the date of the year, and it would fit right in. You'll notice that when we do it. To get started, I want to read this. Let's see if this is on. There you go. Testimonies to Minister, page 430. It says, "Character cannot be changed when Christ comes, nor just as a man is about to die. Character building must be done in this life." So, you know, when we first come to Christ, and then we continue on with Christ, we're hoping that we'll be able to build our Christian character where people will see Christ in our lives. And that's our goal, to reflect Jesus. But this quote says that you can't do that just before you die, and it can't be changed right before Christ comes. A lot of people put things off. You guys put anything off? I've been off for 2 weeks. Sheila come home the other night after going to work, got home about 20 till 6. The bed wasn't made. I'd put that off all day. I kept saying, "I'm going to go in there and get that bed made," and then I never did do it. So, you know, people, especially us humans, we're in the habit of putting things off, and Christian character building is not something you can put off. Character building takes time, and if you've been putting it off, you might want to step up your game a bit. Because we don't know how long we're going to be here. But then again, the Bible says that it's never too late. In 2 Corinthians 2, it says, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So your character, I don't know if you know this or are aware of this, your character is the only thing that you're going to be taken from this world into heaven. Did you know that? Volume 5 of the Testimonies, page 466. Now this first part sounds just like a sermon you would hear at the first of the year. "Every day that passes brings us nearer the last great important day. We are 1 year nearer the judgment, nearer eternity, than we were at the beginning of," and this says 1884. I could say 2020. "Are we also drawing near to God? Are we watching unto prayer? Another year of our time to labor has rolled into eternity. Every day we have been associating with men and women who are judgment bound. Each day may have been the dividing line to some soul. Someone may have made the decision which shall determine his future destiny. What has been our influence over these fellow travelers? What efforts have we put forth to bring them to Christ? It is a solemn thing to die," she says, "but a far more solemn thing to live. Every thought and word and deed of our lives will meet us again. What we make of ourselves in probationary time, that we must remain to all eternity." Death brings dissolution to the body, but makes no change in the character. The coming of Christ does not change our character. It only fixes them forever beyond change. She says, again, I appeal to the members of the church to be Christians, to be Christ-like. Jesus was a worker not for himself, but for others. He labored to bless and to save the lost. If you are Christians, you will imitate his example. Sobering thought. Our scripture reading today came from Daniel. Daniel, whose name means God is my judge, was a statement in the court of four heathen kings. Taken captive as a youth in Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar in 605 BC, he spent the rest of his long life there as a government official and as a prophet to the true God. Jesus identified Daniel as a prophet in Matthew 24:15 and also in Mark 13:14. Throughout his life, he was uncompromising and faithful to his God. Because of the events recorded in chapter 2, where Daniel interprets the king's dream, Daniel was given a place of prominence and responsibility in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. After the king's death, Daniel apparently fell from favor, but was recalled to interpret the writing that appeared on the wall at Belshazzar's feast in Daniel 5:13. He was made one of the three presidents under Darius. You can read that in Daniel 6:1. And he lived until the third year of Cyrus in 536 BC. His ministry was to testify in his personal life and in his prophecies to the power of God. The story of the three young Hebrews and the story of Daniel in the lion's den have become two of the favorites in the book of Daniel. Stories of trust and faith in their God. We read about the three Hebrews' demonstration of faith in the fiery furnace. We read that this morning, John did. Even though they were very young, they were believers with firm characters. If these young teenagers had these kind of characters facing what they were facing, it just seems to me older believers like us should have even better characters, wouldn't you think? No doubt God wanted more Christians with characters like that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What was it that gave them the kind of character that they possessed? I believe it was their trust and faith in a God. Christian character comes from trusting God in all aspects of our life. The three young Hebrews trusted God with all their heart. This becomes obvious as we observe how they responded to the king's insistence that they bow down to false gods. What would you have said to the king that morning on that plain? I want to look this morning at the ingredients in the godly character of these three young men. If we trust in God, we will have Christian characters with the same ingredients. The first one was conviction. In verse 18, they said, "We will not." A person with Christian character will have convictions based on the Word of God. There are certain things this person will not do, and he or she has already made up her mind about those things. To have Christian-like conviction is to find out what God's opinion is from the Scriptures and to make his opinion our opinion. A conviction is not based on personal preference, but is solidly based on what God has said in his word, and then our determination to follow it. Their faith also gave them consecration. You know who this is? That's right, I knew you guys would know, that's why I used it. Mother Teresa. You very seldom read anything in today about anybody that had more of devotion and consecration to God than Mother Teresa. These young men in verse 17 said, "Our God whom we serve." God wants Christians who are totally devoted to Him. These Hebrew boys knew that God would deliver them out of the king's hand, whether God delivered them out of the fire or not. Dead or alive, they would be delivered. They knew whom they served. They knew who their master was, and their devotion was 100% for the Lord. God wants Christians today with this same kind of consecration. Christian character comes by trusting God, and this faith in God will give you Christ-like consecration and devotion to the Lord. Their faith also gave them courage. They said, "If it be so, our God is able to deliver. But if not, we will not serve thy gods." These young men had courage. I don't know how many people were on the plain of Dura that morning. 20,000, 40,000. But they were the only three that didn't bow down. They said that they believed God could deliver them if he wanted to, but if he decided not to deliver them, they were still not going to serve the king's false gods. And they knew exactly what they were facing, for they had already been warned about the fiery furnace prepared for those who would not bow down. I've heard people say, "Lord, if you just get me out of this problem or this situation, I'll get back in church. But if you don't expect to see me there." That's not trusting God. That's trying to make a deal. That's what Satan did in the wilderness with Christ. Some Christians today say, "Lord, I'll tithe if you'll bless me." But will they go on to say, "If you do not bless me, I'll tithe anyway"? The last statement takes faith and courage, and it also reveals character. It is putting your trust and faith in God no matter what happens. Nextly, they had consistency. They said, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter." What they were saying was, this is always the way we answer this kind of temptation. You can ask us a million times, and the answer will always be the same. Do you remember in chapter 1 when they refused to defile themselves by eating the king's meat? Their answer is still the same. They did not even have to think about it. They already knew what they were going to say because they trusted in God. They consistently put him first. Now, I wonder sometimes if we do the same thing. We talk about it, and there's instances where we have the opportunity to put God first, but we always put God first. If you'll make the right decisions long enough, you too will not have to think about what your answer will be to temptation. I do not have to think twice about saying no, about going to a bar, for whatever reason. Some people do. I don't have to think about whether or not I'm going to be here at church on Sabbath morning. It just comes automatic. I actually physically miss being here when, for whatever reason, I'm not here. Some people don't seem to miss at all. They say, "I'm going to take a break." And I wonder, a break from what? From God? The reason some people waver is because they haven't made the right choices long enough. If you trust God in His Word, you will not have to be inconsistent in responding to temptation. There was an elderly black woman that attended here when I first joined the church back in the early 80s. Her name was Gertrude Jones. You guys remember? Every week I'd come in and I'd say, "How you doing, Gertrude?" And she'd say, "I'm doing good." She said, "I just keep on keeping on." And that's what each of us have to do. Keep on keeping on. I think it puts a smile on God's face when you make the right decision. So just keep on choosing right. That is what Christian character is all about. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Say amen when you get there. Amen. That's right, I already have mine marked. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to read verses 57 and 58. It says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." This type of faith in God will give you Christ-like consistency. And lastly, these young men had companionship. All through the first chapters of the book, we see they, them, we, and our in relation to the young Hebrews. People with character attract other people with character. Birds of a feather, you know what I'm talking about? And that works the opposite as well. Do you want to have friends who are honest, hardworking, and loyal? Then be that kind of person. Become a person of character, and you will attract people of character. You should always choose your friends from those who have a good Christian character. You may not have many friends, but the friends you have will be good friends and good people to associate with. I thank the Lord for the friendship and the love of my church family. Christian character comes from putting yourself in God's hands and letting Him prepare you for what lies ahead. We need Christ-like companionship. None of us are an island. I don't know who said that, or I would give them credit. We need each other, whether you like it or not. And the scripture says, even more so as the day approaches. You like this guy? I thought this was an appropriate picture of what Christ's children should be doing, watching and waiting for their master. The world needs Christians who have given themselves totally to the Lord and who have taken God's desire for them as their command. Someone once said that character is how you live when no one else is watching. And I believe that. Can you picture yourself going to heaven this morning knowing what you know about yourself? I hope so. If not, it is sure something to think about and to work on for 2021. My favorite author said, "When the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. It is the privilege of every Christian not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Were all who profess his name bearing fruit to his glory, how quickly the whole world would be sown with the seed of the gospel. She goes on to say, quickly the last great harvest would be ripened and Christ would come to gather his precious grain. And that comes from Christ's Object Lessons, page 69. This morning, I pray that the Lord will bless you all as we work with him to do and become what God has planned for each one of us in this new year.